Well, somehow I hear a voice from the clouds saying, "Preach, good boy." And so it's on tonight. It's been on all week, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. And I was telling several of the folks a minute ago, I really think, I think Caleb was mainly responsible for the way that production or video was put together, from what I understand. And I think that's just one of the most moving things I've seen in a long, long time. And I think it ought to be packaged and put together with that T-shirt so people will know what that T-shirt's really all about. But I want to say how much we honor Pastor Lisa Unger for carrying on this wonderful work of God. Would you let her know, all of you campers, let her know how much you appreciate making this place available. And I look around and thought, I'm not sure Pat would have knew what to do with that smoke and those lights, but he would have been thrilled to see it going on nonetheless. But while it is our great ability to remember the price that he paid, it is also so important to know that the work still continues and goes on. And if you've never been here, this is your first time. How many of you, this is your first time being at this camp? Would you hold your hand? That's what blew my mind, and that's what's so exciting. That's how many first-timers, and so for many of you, you don't really know the full impact, and I'm so glad they did that presentation tonight in honor of Pap, and we just, what a great night, amen? It's good stuff going on. Well, I need some help before we get too far along. I'm going to move this down just a bit, or get somebody to move it down just a bit. Need a little bit of help before we get where we're going, just sort of more centered in both sides and put them as close together as we can. Need four helpers, just real quick, four helpers. No, you're not going to get, you know, hurt or burnt, all right? Y'all take one right there, and you take the other and go to the other side. All right, need some ladies. Come on, right here. Got to need ladies. Got guys, got ladies. You go? All right, come on. All right, it's not complicated. It's not even a trick. I just need you to, I just don't want to draw. I just don't want to write. That's all it is. Okay, I need you right here to draw a big J, but I need you to give me space to put a big E that's equal to it right there. So I need a big J that can be red. Hopefully you do good. Do good, boy. Yes, sir. Right there. Now you got to make a match, but give some space between them. The reason I want to talk, it won't take me long tonight. I'm very, very excited. Can everybody see his J? Is that big enough to be red in the back? Okay, good. Then that's about the size we need the next one to be. So come, not you. That give the girl a chance. Give the ladies a chance. But space way over here. All right, make it match. No, just close. It doesn't have to be identical. I just want it to be able to be red. Let me just pause for a moment. Let's pull up the first scripture. I want to read two scriptures, and then we'll keep going. Thank you. You'll be needed back in a moment. One of you keep the marker. You'll have to come back in a moment. So we got that first scripture. Is it coming? I want to take just a little time. It won't take me long tonight to do what we need to do. You are coming back before we get too far. But I want to read two passages of scripture when they pull them. One of those is found in 1 Peter, the other in the book of 1 John. Did we crash? We're trying. Okay, there it comes. I saw it. It disappeared. Somebody got your Bible? See, that's the bad thing about technology is we get used to it and then we don't know what to do without it, all right? We'll use the written version. When the screens don't work, we'll go to the other, all right? If they get it up, we'll be right with you. First Peter, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to give you two passages of Scripture, and then we're going to move quickly. I want to say how much last night meant to me personally, because if it wasn't for anybody else, I felt like it was an absolute prophetic word for me from Pastor Justin Phillips, and I think everybody claimed it. But I was motivated because when he was talking about that whole thing of could we raise $1 million or $10 million if we needed to, it's like, I sure hope so, because I got to go home tomorrow and do so. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, I want you to pray in this group, because I believe in your prayers more than anybody else. God did call us out of the corner and told us to get in the middle of the field, and we're tackling a major project tomorrow for all of you, for everybody here. a $6 million facility that was put available to us for $1.5 million. And it houses all kinds of dormitories, all kinds of... It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in a major city. And we believe it's time to tackle it and go after it and have something that really says we can do what we've been saying we can do. We're coming out of the corner. And so they tried to keep me home to deal with that. The bank kept telling me if I left, I'd probably blow a deal. And I wasn't going to miss this camp if I blew a deal. Because I believed if God was in it, he was in it. Last night when the man of God was preaching, I kept laying claim to everything he was saying. And while we were worshiping a moment ago, they text me and said, get home as quick as you can tomorrow because we want to make a deal. And so I believe by the grace of God, if you'll pray, we're going to make a deal. And this is something more than we could have ever imagined. So I believe that word came to pass. Now, while we're still working on Scripture, I was waiting for Mom to come back. I said a moment ago, Pap's on the other side, and we honor and thank God for his legacy, but he didn't do it all by himself. There was a praying woman behind the scenes, and we don't have to wait till she's not in our midst to celebrate her. And she had stepped out. She's back in. Would you honor Mama Hiles right there and let her know? Ooh, 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 ooh. All right. Good. I knew if we stalled long enough, the screens would work. There we go. I don't even know how to read anymore. I've gotten spoiled. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation by traditions from your fathers. Next verse. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Say back to me real loud. I was purchased by the spotless blood of the Lamb of God. For as much as you know, you wasn't redeemed with something corruptible. There's a force inside of you. There's a power inside of you that never decays, never corrupts, never gets weak, never gets low. It stays at full strength all the time and accomplishes what it needs to accomplish. If you'll go now to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 gives us a scripture that I want to hone in on. It says, he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning, but this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy them, abolish them, remove them, be done away with. Next verse. Whosoever, now watch carefully, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Wow. Let me say that to you again. It says, he that is born of God has the seed of God remaining in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Say to me tonight, real loud, out back to me, I am born again, with incorruptible seed, and the seed remains in me. Therefore, I cannot sin because the seed of God remains in me. There is something inside of you that no matter how much the dark side goes into play, that will always come back in the moment of need. When we started talking about Star Wars, our home is almost there are parts of our home that is a shrine to Star Wars. So I felt like I was just going from home to come here. In fact, I got here and realized we should have brought some of our stuff because I think we got more stuff as a shrine in our basement than we had to celebrate with. So Star Wars is actually something that our whole family's crazy about. Zach probably was the original one in our family that was most intent about it. But it was something that's amazing to me because my passion are two things, the nations and generations. And I think one of the reasons I got hooked on Star Wars is that I loved it when I was a kid and watched it. But it was really exciting that I got to take my kids back to see it. And they got to go back and see what I had seen before they were born. And it was as relevant and new when they saw it as it was when I saw it. And then they came out with all the new stuff. And it was something that transcended generations. It brought us together from generation to generation. But I'm a little bit different from everybody else because Yoda intrigues me. I think Yoda's amazing. And, of course, everybody loves Yoda. But I really am a Darth Vader kind of guy. And you say, that's the dark side. Well, it's the dark side unless you understand Darth Vader's story. And when you really look at Darth Vader's story, I think he gets a bum rap. And I think most of us get the same thing in religion. And the reason I tell you that is because just because you've been burned a few times, and just because you've been hurt a few times, and just because you've lost some lives, and you've had people close to you killed, and you've lost those that you love, and you've been through some really tough situations that make you want to wear a mask and put on clothes that hide who you really are and get behind dark things because you really don't want people to see you, doesn't mean that the seed of God is not there. And when the real test comes, where love goes into action, even Darth Vader showed that he was not the bad guy after all, because for the love of his son, he was willing to pay the ultimate price. And so the truth of the matter is, there is a reason the force was strong with him from the beginning. If I can have my two guys come, or two helpers come back from the other side, what do you think we're spelling here? Good effort. You're getting there. You're getting there. Put the D on this side, make it match. And then put the I after she's done. Make it bold enough to be read from the back. There you go. It's nothing to brace on. We're not going to stay here too very long, but I want to just show you something. What makes, I think that's a D. Yep, that's a D. Good effort. All right, scoot on over and give him the I on the other side. Jeez, if I knew it was going to take this long, we're just writing letters. It's not a work of art. I'm just trying to spell Jedi, that's all. Now, the reason this is important, I'll take it from here. Y'all take too long. All right. Jedi, the force that was with the Jedi, and you've been calling all of that, but the reality of what I want to focus in on tonight is the fact that Jesus enters your life and destroyed insecurities. What a Jedi is literally when Jesus shows up, when Jesus entered, he destroyed your insecurities. And the reason that's important is the power of the force that is within you is to say you can do whatever you need to do. So when you go back home this week as a Jedi, you're going to go back home knowing that something entered your life that literally destroyed every insecurity, every limitation, everything that could keep you from being what you were created to be. Darth Vader, for instance, as you know the story, was always trying to convert somebody to the dark side. And more specifically, always wanted to convert his seed to the dark side. The threat was, I'll convert Luke to the dark side. If that don't work, I'll convert Princess Leia to the dark side. But I'm always going to convert my seed. The attack has always been on the next generation so that there would always be a continuation of darkness. Let's keep the darkness going. But the truth of the matter is, there's something more powerful than darkness. It's light, and the light force that is within you. That scripture says that the seed of God remains in you, therefore you cannot sin. That's why what was taught and imparted even to Darth Vader, by the time he was faced with the ultimate choice of making sacrifice, the light was stronger than the darkness. The seed of God that was there, the seed of God that's in you, is still greater than the force of darkness. And the idea is that darkness is the opposite of light. And if you've been taught that, you've been taught incorrectly. Now, don't get a fight started when you go back to school with your teachers who want to tell you it's the opposite, but just know that there's some things they don't have right. And that's one of the things they don't have right. Darkness is not the opposite of light. For darkness to be the opposite of light, it would have to be equal to it on the other side. But darkness is not equal to light on the other side. Darkness is not the counterpart of light. Darkness is the absence of it. And light is not the equivalent of darkness on the good side. Light is the force of good that causes darkness to disappear. They're not equals. Light is not the opposite of dark, and dark's not the opposite of light. And so there's a reason that light is a force. I want to focus not on this, we'll come back to it in a moment, but I want to go now to the next scripture, if you just pull the next scripture up. In 1 Samuel, I want to talk about, I started not to come tonight because Lisa yesterday morning got up and took everything I wanted to say, and I hope you forgot it. So I hope you forgot that little exhortation she gave you at the end when she was talking about I'm going to tell you what she's talking about because hopefully you forgot it, so I don't want to remind you. The point is, that's the whole text I had looked at from the beginning, because I believe David was the original Jedi. I think he is the epitome of a Jedi, and there was a Darth Vader in his life. Saul was the kind of figure that was to him. Both he was a spiritual father, but he was also the dark side, his mentor. We've heard a lot about mentors this week, but the truth of the matter is David's mentor became his tormentor. And sometime in all of our lives, those that we look to will not only mentor us, but they will torment us. And so whether it's a tormentor or a mentor, they both serve the same purpose. What I want you to see is that in a battle that had been raging for a long time, David is running away from the heat of that battle. He's on the run. And prior to being on the run from this battle, he comes in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and here's what the scripture says. David said unto Ahimelech, Ahimelech is a priest. He is an Obi-Wan Kenobi type. He is a Yoda type. He is the one that gives great spiritual wisdom. He comes to the house of the priest and he says, is there not here under your hand a spear or a sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. He said, I had to run away in a hurry to avoid getting caught in the middle of a fight. And in doing so, I left my lightsaber. And when I left my lightsaber, I don't have one. I need a weapon. But the Yoda figure in this scripture says something that's pretty profound in the next verse. He said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you slew in the valley of Elah, it's here, but it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, because there's no other weapons here. Now the reason he said there's no other weapons here is this is a house of worship. And he was saying, we don't fight in this house. We worship in this house. And worship wins every war. But he said, because you are temporarily forgetting who you are, and you are going through that lapse to where you think you're going toward the dark side and need to fight, what I will tell you is the only sword that's available is the one you took away from Goliath, and we wrapped it in a cloth, but we put it behind the linen ephod. What that means is for David to pick up this sword, he's got to first pick up the garment of praise. And he said, so to get to your weapon, you got to put on the garment of praise. So you got to remove it to get the sword. And the realities are, if you ever learn how to praise him, you decide you don't need the weapon. Because as soon as David pulled that weapon, that garment back, he discovered a sword, and the sword was not there to teach him how to fight. The sword was there to tell him how the fight had already been won. Because that sword was not a new sword, that sword was Goliath's sword that David himself had taken from Goliath when he defeated him. What does that tell me? As young Jedis, you've got to recognize that you're not going back to fight a battle. You're going back to announce the battle's over. And what you're going to discover is while you've been here this week, you've picked up a new garment. You've picked up a new robe. You've picked up a new ephod. And that ephod has caused you to understand the battle is not going to be won, it's already won. So the only weapon he has is this weapon. David said, let me have it. Next verse, he says, let me have that weapon. And he arose and fled that day from fear of Saul and went to Achish the king of Gath. When he took that sword, he said, there's not another like it. And the reason there wasn't another like it is not because it was more powerful than another, but because it represented the death of a giant. Every giant in your life is already dead. Oh, hallelujah. What does that mean? Every giant in your life is already dead. He has brought the giant to a concluding point. And David says, I want a sword. And the priest said, you don't really need a sword. But if you think you do, you got to get through the garment of praise. You got to get through the linen ephod. Linen says, first of all, that it's righteous. So he said, the first thing you got to do is get through your own righteousness. If you're going to fight, you're going to have to lay down an understanding of who you are. So he said, there's a linen ephod. You're righteous. Then he said, ephod, which is a priestly garment of praise. He said, you got to know you're a praiser, and you got to know you're already righteous. And if you figure that out and you still want the sword, then take it. But there's nothing here. We're not going to read the whole text. But the priest goes on to say, there's nothing in this house but bread and wine for communion. What he was telling him is the reason there's no weapons here is because we don't fight. We have come to a realization of who we are. So we stand in that identity of being the force of God that he's placed in us. And we don't need weapons anymore. What we do is continue to take communion. We commune with the Father. And that's what makes us a Jedi. When Jesus entered, he destroyed every insecurity and said, you don't have to fight in this battle any further. Now, I've been on a series for weeks at home called You Cannot Fail. And I want to go to that text for just a moment, at least a portion of it, in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And then we're going to start driving this home. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David has been on a long battle helping other folks. And while he's out helping other people, he and his men come home and discover that everything they have has been destroyed. While they were helping somebody else fight their battle, somebody snuck in, burned down their houses, took their wives, kidnapped their children, and left them devastated. And when they get to this point of devastation, David comes home wanting to quit. But before he can decide to quit, his men turn on him. All of his force, all of the army that he has have all turned on him. Now he's about to go and face the forces of darkness alone. And the Bible says it gets worse because he not only goes at it alone, it says that his men thought of stoning him to death. So now he's not only lost his wives and his house and his kids and his crops, his own men want to kill him. Now, the verse just before this one in verse 6, we're not going to read it, but if you get home want to, you can look at verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed because his men thought of stoning him. That'll do it. Yeah, when you think your own people want to kill you, that'll do it. What that tells me is there's sometimes the only way you could please people would be to drop dead. So you got to decide, I'm not interested in pleasing you that bad. And that's what David said. David said, you know, I'm, and here's the thing that you've got to determine that makes you a Jedi that the force is great with. What was different between this Jedi warrior David and those other 400 men that were with him? When they had personal loss, they sat down and quit. The Bible says they sat down and cried till they could cry no more. The difference with David is David has lost everything they've lost. He's missing his wife. He's missing his children. His house got burned. But now he's not only suffering what they've lost, he's suffering what he's lost too, and they want to kill him. It's not looking good in this galaxy. And all of a sudden, David says in the middle of this battle, I've got to do something different. Here's what makes a Jedi, is in moments of crisis, they realize I can sit here and weep with everybody that's weeping, or I can get up and do something about it. And watch what is important. David said, watch carefully. And David said to Abiathar, watch now, the priest, Ahimelech's son. Before I go further, remember what I just read you. I know I'm giving you a lot of quick information, but it'll be worth it when it comes together. Abiathar, Ahimelech's son. You remember who Ahimelech is in this story? Just a moment ago, when David was in trouble. Now, years have elapsed, and all the priests were killed, by the way. The invading force came and killed all the priests in that same house when David left. When David left, they killed Ahimelech. They killed all the other priests. Only Abiathar escaped. And he ran to David, and when he ran to David, he ran to David with a linen ephod. Now, when David left Ahimelech's house, you remember what he asked for? A sword. Now he's in devastation, and because he left that house with a sword, he has fought all the rest of his days. But while he's been fighting all the rest of his days, he lost his home, he lost his wife, he lost his children, and now all of his men want to kill him. Everybody's in devastation, and David does something profound. He calls for the same house, and he calls for the son of the same priest, the only thing left. But this time, he doesn't say, bring me a sword. Oh, wow. Y'all are not with me, but I'm going to get you. He said, David said to Abiathar, the priest Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. What that tells me is, he said, I wasted all of these years fighting with a sword when my weapon is not a sword. What I really need is not a weapon to fight with. All I need to do is put on my garment of praise and I can go face any dark force, but I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. Last time I went to fight, this time I'm going to win. You can either fight or you can win. Fighters are not winners, but winners don't have to fight. All winners have got to do is clothe themselves in their true identity. He said, I'm not going to mess up this time by picking up a sword. I'm going to put on the linen ephod. And when he put on the linen ephod, the next scripture says, David said something profound. Verse 8, he said, bring me the linen ephod. And David inquired of the Lord and saying, shall I pursue after this troop, our troopers? Shall I pursue after this troop? Not shall we. He had 400 men the last time he went to battle. Now he don't have a thing and he's not even carrying a weapon. He's got nothing but a linen ephod and he says, in this garment I put on, shall I pursue? What he just said is, I can handle this all by myself as long as I'm wearing the right clothes. I don't need a sword. I don't need a weapon. All I need is to know who I really am. Shall I pursue? Now watch this. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? I don't think you're getting this. He had 400 men. They abandon him and want to kill him. And he says to them, you can sit here and cry, but I just changed clothes. I'm taking off my fighting clothes and putting on my winning clothes. I don't need a sword, I just need a garment of praise. So now he's got on his linen ephod and here's what he says, I take it personal. And he drew a line in the sand and says, I'm taking this personal. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Shall I go after this troop? I can only imagine that this great army is going out over a hill. They're a good day and a half ahead of David. And they've got all of David's men's wives, all of David's men's children captive, and David's wives captive, and David's children's captive. And they've got weapons, and they're running over the hill. And here comes one man behind them screaming, stop! Don't have an army. It's one man. Stop! And this time, he's not even carrying a sword. This time, he's carrying a force. And he said, stop! Now he says to these men, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Shall I go after this troop? The reason that's important is because David was not just going to get his stuff back. He was going to get back the stuff that belonged to every one of those men that wanted him dead. There's some folk who want you dead that the best thing you can do is get up and use the force and go after your stuff and their stuff too. Because some of the stuff that we're dealing with, we're not even dealing with for ourselves. We're dealing with for somebody else. But David said, shall I pursue? I'm taking it personal. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And then watch this. And God said, woo. God said, pursue. And then I love it. For you shall surely, you, not y'all, not all of you, the one that took it personal, the one who put on his garment, the one who knew the force was great with him, the one who knew who he was, you shall pursue. And I've heard dozens of messages on recovering it all, but about 4 weeks ago, or 6 weeks ago now, this thing began to just brew over and over and over that we had missed two words that I want to drive home. And I've been on it ever since, and I'm going to leave it with you. He said, shall I pursue, shall I overtake, shall I go after them? And God said, pursue, for you shall surely pursue. You shall surely overtake them. And are you ready? This is the life-changing three words, and without fail. No, let me try it another way. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? Whatever you would do if you knew you couldn't fail, then do it now. Because it is your cannot fail moment. David said, shall I go after him? He said, not only shall you go after him, you shall pursue, you shall overtake. And I love all that, but I really like these lines. Without fail. What he just said is the force is so great with you that your days of failure are over. You are not leaving this camp to go home to fail. You are leaving to go home to succeed. Whatever you put your hands to shall prosper. Shall I? You shall overtake and without fail recover it all. The reason we don't see recovery is because we still think failure is a possibility. A good understanding of Yoda would convince you that there is no try. We've heard that quote several times. There is no try. You succeed. The reason that is such a powerful quote from the movie is because it is a truth that you've got to let sink in. You have no ability to fail because of greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Your ability to fail has died this week. You see, the dark force is not Darth Vader. The dark force is failure. The dark force never won. Never won. Darth Vader became subject to what he originally fought against. If you spend your time fighting, you wind up being consumed by what you fight. But if you'll put on the right attire, you don't spend so much time fighting, you spend time worshiping, and worship wins the battle. Now, the reason that's important is because you don't get from A to Z overnight. It doesn't happen that way. Things can start out so powerful in your life, and before you know it, you'll be in a whole nother world. I need one more helper. One more. Come right here, bud. You don't wake up one day and just decide, I'm going to be mad. So put that on. I'm going to be mad, sad, and frustrated. Things happen. It may be that you live through some really hard knocks. Bad stuff can happen. And when bad stuff happens, the idea is to make you think you're subject to fail. And so you lose something that's important to you. And you think the world is over. Or maybe it's more than that. Maybe in time you just decide, I've been hurt too many times. Evil has been more, I've seen more evil than I've seen good. I've lived through some really, really bad times. In fact, somebody that I love dearly died and left me alone. Or maybe I suffered tremendous abuse. And it's not long to where those things that cripple your ability to reach out and believe, or that hurt and harm you and cause you to want to engulf yourself in darkness, then all of a sudden it becomes a mindset. And then if you're not careful, you'll start believing that. You'll start believing that you don't know the power of the dark side.
The force is with you. There is no escape. Your powers are weak. You don't know the power of the dark side.
You'll start believing that your force is weak and you don't know the power of the dark side. And there's no escape. And then you'll start breathing funny. It won't be long. It'll steal your voice. But underneath all of that was a great, great person who believed in something. But then he gets crowned with the idea that I'm stuck with losing. So if I'm going to lose and I've had this much failure, I need to take as many people down the road of failure with me as possible. And so what I'm going to do is spend the rest of my days hiding my true identity and trying to suck as many of you with me into that identity as I can to convince you you're a failure. But there's somebody that has been born with purpose in their heart that knows the seed of God remains in them, therefore they cannot sin. And the more they are mentored and tutored by those of the Spirit, they get a vision in their heart that they can balance the force. When young Luke Skywalker was discovered, the idea was, we believe he's the one that was chosen prophetically to balance the force. I come tonight boldly to say to you, you're the generation that has been chosen to balance the force. And the dark side did not come because of sin. Because sin was destroyed when Jesus entered, he destroyed every insecurity, including sin. He came to destroy the works of the devil and to destroy sin. Sin is not what brought the dark side. Religion brought the dark side when it started teaching you you could fail. But you've been brought to this conference to be told it's impossible for you to fail. Because you're a Jedi. Jesus has already entered your life. He's destroyed every insecurity. And you're not going to crown yourself with dark thoughts that cause you to mask yourself and surround yourself by previous failures. But instead of trying to convert somebody to the dark side. And start saying, you don't want me to destroy you. You'll discover that what has bound you has already been destroyed. And when you discover it's already been destroyed, there'll come a showdown. There's a young Jedi in here somewhere. I'm just looking for him. I hadn't found him yet. He's in here. He's full of purpose and still looking for him. I found him. There we go. That was a hint. Thank you, bud. Come along. Rest of y'all are slow, but you're sweet. A young Jedi comes, and when the time comes for a showdown, face him. Face him. When the showdown comes and you discover the truth, all of a sudden in that powerful showdown of truth, when you want to give up and you want to quit, instead, he seeking to convert you may chop off your hand. He may go from being your mentor to tormentor. He may hurt you. He may harm you. But there's something still in there. Because once you've been touched by the force, when put in the position of life and death, something's going to come true. This young Jedi had to face off with failure. He had to face off with darkness. But in that moment, when he realizes his life's at stake, I read you earlier, the seed of God remains in you, therefore you cannot sin. What that tells me is underneath this shell is a true seed waiting to reappear. And what will make it reappear is the greatest force on the planet, and it's not the lightsaber, it's the love of a son. What saved all of creation was the love of a son. God sent forth his son. The love of a son turns the heart. And when that showdown came, he ultimately had to save his son. And in so doing, in the movie, the last thing the young Jedi begs of him is, let me see your face. Because that's the normal response. Because he has not much air. If he takes this helmet off, he's sure to die. But now he's dying anyway. And in one last moment, it's not just that the hood is lifted, that the face is gone, and all of us who are movie fans finally get to see who's behind the mask, even though that voice changed several times. We get to see who's behind. It's not that we get to see who's behind the mask. It's that we get to reveal that all the pain of failure that was really put him in this to begin with, when it comes off, underneath that is still the seed of God. And in that moment, he's not Darth Vader. He is indeed Anakin Skywalker. He is indeed the man who started the journey. Because even if you make some bad choices, clothe yourself in the wrong stuff, get hurt and get burned and try to hide your identity, you're not going to be able to escape the seed of God that's in there. Because if the seed of God is in you, you cannot sin, because the seed of God remains in there. Now I'm coming home. Thank you guys, you did great. I'm coming home. You've received ministry all this week. I'll be glad to pose in the Darth Vader suit after service for pictures. The idea here that I want you to see is very simple. There's been all kinds of ministry. There's been all kinds of powerful stuff. But the thing that I knew, I didn't know what night I was speaking, didn't know what the plan was. I knew all I wanted to be sure that I drove home to you is this. At the end of this conference, you've got to make up your mind that there is no failure in your future. You say, well, that's dangerous to tell folks because we're all going to fail. No. We're all going to make mistakes. But we're not going to fail. Failure is when you fall and learn nothing from it. If you make a mistake and learn something from it, it's not failure, it's success, because it propels you to another dimension. You need to draw a line around yourself and decide tonight that you are in a no-fail season and you can do whatever's in your heart. I ask you again, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? Then my exhortation to you is, do it now. Because you can do whatever dream God has put in your heart. I came to a conclusion that the main reason I had run from many things that were even in our power to do from time to time was because I still had in the back of my head, what happens if this don't work? What happens if this fails? Last night when we were in the middle of worship and you begin to lift our brother and just carry him over the thing, I was so moved with compassion, and we went back and danced in the chair and played together for a few minutes. But I sat there and literally wept and cried, not because of his condition, but because of my condition. Because I said to the Lord, I'm not weeping over his condition. He seems pretty peaceful to me and happy. What I wept over is, God, I want to lose sight of the idea of what happens if he don't get healed. I want to lose sight to where that's a moot point and where it is commonwealth. It is commonplace that we are more shocked when God doesn't do the supernatural and the impossible than we are when he does it. And we've seen so much over the last 2 years that I've seen so many supernatural things, and I got to be honest, I'm still amazed by them. Every time somebody gets out of a chair, every time somebody's deaf ear opens, every time somebody walks, every time somebody's eyes open, it still amazes me. And it struck me the other day that maybe the reason we've not seen even more of it is because it still amazes me. I don't mean I don't want to be moved by it. I mean it ought to be commonplace that we believe the supernatural. And what I'm saying to you is this: if you've ever thought about laying hands on somebody, lay hands on them now. If you've ever thought about prophesying, prophesy now. If you've ever thought about starting a business, start it now. If you've ever thought about designing some new creative thing, design it now. If you've ever thought about getting an education, get it now. Whatever has been your dream you didn't think you'd get it now, because you can't fail. The showdown was on. I move out of the way. Y'all can take these things out of the way. I'll keep this and put it back in the box. But the bottom line is this: you cannot fail if you really believe the force is great within you. David is sitting on a pile of ashes and he says to the Lord, "Shall I?" Nobody's going to do this with me. "Shall I?" And he said, "You shall pursue, overtake, and without fail." Lose any possibility of failure. Lynn told us the other night that it's a God story. It's not even our story, it's a God story. So if we're living out of the God story, then it's impossible to fail, because it's not even our story. It's his story. Pastor Justin told us last night that he's moving us out of the corner in the middle of the field, in essence to say, what should be common the commonwealth, the common thing. It ought to be common to have everything you need. But you can't find it. Hiding behind a dark mask. Hiding behind a disguised voice. Wrapping yourself in dark attire. You can't hide it. You can't find it hiding in a corner. But at some moment you got to say, I'm taking the mask off. I'm taking the risk to remember that the seed of God inside of me will never fail. And at that moment in time when you are faced with your most difficult decision ever, I'm telling you that the seed of God that started in you this week, and there's a few of you in this room that you've seen everybody else have breakthroughs. Maybe it's your first time, so many first-time people, and maybe you think, well, I'm just not doing what they're doing, getting what they're doing. Listen, you don't have to do what nobody else does. You don't have to respond the way anybody else responds. You don't have to act the way anybody else acts. But here's what you have to know. That just by being in this room this week, there's a seed that's been awakened in you. And that seed will remain. And that seed cannot fail. And in that moment, when you are face to face with your most deepest, toughest decision, light is going to destroy darkness. Somebody said, you don't know the power of the dark side. The truth of the matter is, there is no power in the dark side. And proof of that is the epitome of the dark side when face to face with the greatest force, which was love, surrendered to the power of light. Light wins. Love wins. You cannot fail. The seed of God in you remains. You're a Jedi. And the reason you're a Jedi is because Jesus entered. And when he entered, he destroyed insecurities. Everything that put you in a mask, put you in a box, limited your abilities, Jesus conquered it. You're victorious and you win. I only have one assignment. It's last night. You've parted. You've praised. You've rejoiced. I've seen you in the floor. I've seen you speak in tongues. Seen you run. Seen you jump. Seen you do all of those things. My mission's a little different. I came on a mission to destroy the idea of the dark side in your life. Whether that be the idea of sin or whether it just be insecurities and fears that say you can't do it. I promise you this. You're going to leave this place infused with the force to conquer in a way that will be astounding. There is no ability in you to fail. If you really believed you couldn't fail, what would you do? I want that to be the thing you take home with you. Because when you get home, I want you to do what you didn't think you could do because you cannot fail. If you knew you couldn't fail, would you do something that you've really been wanting to do, then go home and give it a try. Because you're in a moment where it's impossible for you to fail. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I want you to stand on your feet because my job tonight is to unmask the winner in you. When the showdown comes, it was all about removing the mask. Probably the most poignant place, there's been a lot of emphasis on Star Wars, the most poignant place for me in all of the movies is really that moment where Luke Skywalker says, take off the mask. Show me your face. Let me see who you really are. And it's not because we get to find out who's the voice behind the mask, because we didn't. It was a different voice. We didn't see the voice behind the mask. We saw who it really was. And it wasn't the dark side. It was the seed that had gotten planted all those many years ago. There's something inside of every one of you. Maybe like Anakin Skywalker, you had to leave people that were close to you. Maybe somebody close to you left you. Maybe you were severely burned, not physically, but relationally, over and over and over again. The bottom line is this. there is an anointing upon this camp to make winners out of every person that will open their heart to it. You are a winner. You cannot fail. When Jesus entered your life, every insecurity was destroyed. When He comes in, insecurities leave. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and do some major something unless there's something you need to do. What I'm going to ask you to do instead is receive this promise that the light is greater than darkness and you cannot lose. You can't lose. You're a Jedi. You're somebody that Jesus lives in and insecurities have no more place. You can face the darkest of darkness because He's in there. I want you, if you're ready, to shake off every dark thing. I'm not talking about sin. Sin was dealt with. We've already read it. But if you're ready to shake off your insecurities, some of you got one last chance tonight as far as camp to show, I'm done with being insecure. I'm casting it off. That don't mean you need to come act like some of us. Be you. But know this, you can't win unless you take a step. And if you take a step, you can't lose. Take a step. Take off the mask. Let Him in. Whatever you've engulfed yourself in, you say, but if people only knew what I'd been through. Yes, but you can't live there. Don't live in your past. Don't live with your past hurts, your burns, your wounds. Take off the mask. If you want to cast off insecurity, would you meet me right here? And I want to pray for you. I just want to pray that this would be a night that insecurities would cease and you would see everything you need to see in your life. You can't fail in this moment and in this season. Just lift your hands. If that's you, just lift your hands right there. All insecurities leave. Swallowed up in the presence of the greatest force, love. The scripture says God will not fail you. You cannot fail. Your faith won't fail. The promises of God don't fail. And it says in love never fails. That's beautiful, sweetheart. Just let Him do it. That's awesome. See, He's already doing what He needs to do. You're just casting it off. You're just throwing it away. Letting it be done. Let it be done. All I'm asking you to do tonight is reckon with the insecurity. You may be right. What happened to you may be horrid. But it can't hold you any longer. Your scars can hold you no more. Darth Vader wasn't wearing black and mask because he was so tough. He was wearing it because he was so weak. Let me hide my wounds. Don't let anybody see my burns. I don't want them to know my face is marred and my body's scarred. But love caused the mask to come off. Love brought change. And this camp has brought you to a place of coming face to face with the love of God. And the love of God removes every insecurity, takes away the scars, removes the wounds, brings you to a place of freedom. It's all right. Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, 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 now. Let it go. He takes it away. He takes it away. He takes it away. Let it go. He takes it away. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it now. There it goes. There it goes. Take it away. Now, now. There it goes, dude. That's it. That's it. That's it. There's several people, and I don't want to identify you, I could. There's several of you who carry such deep scars. because of things that really have happened to you that should have destroyed you. Several times during this week, I've looked at several of you, and I'm not going to single you out, I'm just going to speak it. But I've looked at you and thought, I'm not sure that any one of us senior adults could have lived through what some of you have already endured. Yeah, it's been tough. Yeah, there's been pains. There's been wounds. There's been scars. But He's a healer. And you don't have to take those scars with you. You don't take them out of here with you. Because He comes tonight to tell you that the seed that's in there is greater than everything that's happened to you. There's a power being released from within that will destroy every insecurity. Jesus enters, destroying insecurity. Right where you stand, lift your hands and your heart and just simply say, Lord, heal me of the thing I'm afraid to talk about. Heal me of the thing I'm afraid to admit. Heal me of the things I wish I could forget. Because He can make you to forget even that thing that happened to you. It's your moment. It leaves tonight. In the name of Jesus. That's it, son. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I've placed my hand on you to lead others out. You're a chain breaker. But you're a chain breaker because you've known what it is to be chained. You've already felt the pain of heartache. You felt the pain of heartbreak. But the Spirit of the Lord says, I come tonight to heal you, to cause you to be a chain breaker. The Spirit of the breaker is on you to break free and to set others free. There it is. Now, Holy Ghost. Oh! Now, Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Ghost. I'm still looking. Just let ministry continue all over this house. There's... Come here, son. Right here, buddy. Come here. In the name of Jesus.